You're listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. For more information, please visit our website at everynationgta.org.
Well, good morning, and my turn to say welcome this morning. It is spring. I'm so glad. I saw through the chat lots of people were outside yesterday, as were we. So, man, that's one thing God's given us that kind of lifts us. Good weather, right? Well, welcome again. We are on week three of a four-part series as we head into Easter Sunday called The Way of the Wilderness. And today we're going to look at the word preparation, and we're going to look at the man, John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a fascinating guy. He really left his mark on the world, and he left his mark on the church, and he left his mark on history. And we can only kind of do a flyby today and zoom in on a couple of things as we look at his life in the wilderness. I want to start with a picture. I don't know about you guys, but I grew up going to Sunday school, and so my image of John the Baptist was this crazy, wild-haired man in these weird clothes, eating bugs. And yet there is so much more to his life. But while we're on the childhood part of it, I want to take a second and read, of course, from my favorite children's Bible, because I just think this says it the best. So John grew up, and well, to tell you the truth, he was a bit unusual. He lived in the desert. He wore itchy, scratchy outfits made of camel hair. He had a big, big, bushy beard and long, long, straggly hair. And here is the oddest thing of all. He only ate locusts, short for big, creepy, crunchy caterpillars. Excuse me, grasshoppers, which he dipped in honey to disguise the taste, probably. Well, we're going to look today a little bit at the life of John the Baptist. You know, it's pretty interesting. Every gospel writer tells us something about John's life and ministry. And the book of Acts refers to his life and the impact he had on the church. So I'm going to do a 2-minute flyby on the life of John the Baptist, and then we're going to zoom on in. So here's some of the things we know about. As I said, he was acknowledged by all gospel readers. His life was unfolded before our eyes. His life was predicted, prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, by Malachi. Isaiah wrote that there was going to be one, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, and that was John the Baptist. We know about his parents. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. His mother Elizabeth, we know that she was barren. We've heard lots of stories of barren women as we read the Bible, right? Well, Elizabeth was one of those. So we know that his conception was miraculous, that Elizabeth was advanced in years, the scripture says. We know that God, through an angel, came to Zechariah, John's father, and said, you're going to have a son, and let me tell you a few things about him, and you're going to name him John. And John means God is gracious. Even his name gave a clue about what was going to unfold in the days ahead, the grace of God. The prophet Malachi, speaking of the man who would be John, said he's going to turn the hearts of people back to God. He's going to turn the hearts of children back to their fathers. The world was going to be prepared for the Savior. We read about his first encounter with Jesus. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to Elizabeth, who was her cousin. They were both pregnant. And the Bible says that the baby within Elizabeth's womb leapt. And Elizabeth said, who am I that the mother of our Lord should come to me and be in my presence? We know things about John's message. We know that he was in the wilderness, that he spoke of repentance and baptism for forgiveness of sins. He said, repent, because the kingdom of God is really close to you guys. He said, bear fruit. Let your life show bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And he also said, there's somebody coming after me. The one who's coming after me, I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. He said of himself, I am the one, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make way, make the paths straight, prepare. we know his encounters with Jesus. He was the guy who baptized Jesus. He was a little hesitant. He said, you should be baptizing me. And Jesus said, no, this is what we're supposed to do. And when John baptized Jesus, he said this. He said, I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. But just because God lets us see so the humanity of so many, in one moment, in one time, he said, I've seen the Son of God. But you know, when John was in prison a few years later, he said, he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he was really the one. Isn't that kind of just encouraging to you and I? I know you're the Lord. Are you really the Lord? So we see his humanity. And we also learn about his death, his imprisonment by Herod and his brutal death. And so we see a lot of things about his life. But today we're just going to focus because we're talking about the way of the wilderness. January 1, 2021, I started a new Bible reading plan. I started in the book of Luke. I was reading along and I got to Luke chapter 1, verse 17, but not even the whole part of verse 17, just the last part of it. And I tell you, these words just kind of leapt out at me, if I could say that. And it says this, it's speaking of John the Baptist, it's the prophetic word over his life, and it's saying this, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. To make ready for the Lord a people prepared. I wrote in my journal, I wrote January 1, 2021. Actually, I wrote 2020 and had to draw a line through it and write 2021. And I said, what word do you have for me this year? And then I started to read my Bible and I saw this verse, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. And then I asked myself a question. What does it look like for me as I prepare for a new year? Well, our word is preparation, and let's read now as we look in the life of John the Baptist. We're going to do a fair amount of reading. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 3, and then we're going to skip ahead to Matthew chapter 11. So let's begin with Matthew chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and honey. Then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, those were the religious people of that day, coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And here's his advice to them, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. In other words, you can't lean on the past. We have Abraham as our father, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan, to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Later on, John's disciples came to Jesus to ask him some questions, and we pick it up here in Matthew chapter 11. As they, John's disciples, went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Well, we're looking at the way of the wilderness, and this theme and idea and encounter with wilderness and desert is a common experience in the lives of many, many people that we encounter in the Bible. But this month we're looking at four. The first week we looked at the nation of Israel. You know, the nation of Israel, they kind of got stuck in the wilderness. What should have taken a number of weeks turned into years and years and years. And last week we looked at Elijah, and Elijah fled to the wilderness. The Bible says that he was running for his life. So we've got a group of people who were stuck in the wilderness, and then we've got a guy who ran away to the wilderness trying to get away from his death in all reality. And the next 2 weeks, so this week we're looking at John the Baptist. John the Baptist chose the wilderness. And next week we'll look at Jesus, and Jesus also chose the way of the wilderness. Us, we talk about 2020 and 2021 as kind of a wilderness experience for us. And we didn't choose it. It was kind of thrust upon us. But here we are in the midst of this. But I think that what we're looking at this month, we realize that perhaps God has lessons for us in the wilderness. And today we're going to consider it as a place of preparation. I believe that God prepares us in the wilderness for life beyond the wilderness. So, what might it look like for you and I to choose the wilderness? Well, we're going to look at three words, kind of thoughts from John the Baptist's life. We're going to look at the word solitude, simplicity, and preparation. What might God do in our lives in this season of wilderness? If we dig in and we ask and we look, what might God do in our lives? Jesus said, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? What were you looking for? What were you trying to find?" He said they were looking for a prophet, and they found more than that. But what might you and I go and look for and find in the wilderness? So let's consider these three words. Here's my question. What's in the wilderness for me? The first thing is solitude. So imagine and ask with me. I like to, when I am looking a man or a woman in the Bible, I ask myself a lot of questions. I try to like switch my head back into their time and place and kind of think what life might have looked like or been like. And I had a lot of questions about John the Baptist, but I'm just going to pose a few. I did wonder how long he was in the wilderness, and I wondered how old he was when he went there and how long he stayed there and how much of the time he spent alone. In the book of Luke, it said, the child grew and became strong in spirit. He was in the wilderness until the day of his appearance. That sounds like he might have been in the wilderness from the time he was a kid. And I know that he was at least 30 when his ministry began, because he and Jesus were close to the same age. Thinking and asking questions. But here's another big one. What was he doing in the wilderness? Now, when you and I think of solitude, we think about being alone, but think about how alone is in a desert. No Netflix, no Spotify, no cell phone. Did he live in a tent or a cave? He didn't have a book to read. When it got dark, if any of you have camped in our Ontario wilderness, when it gets dark, it gets really dark. What did he do those months and years in the wilderness? What does solitude look like? Last week in our small group questions, I liked this one. We were talking about the silence and the solitude of the wilderness. And the question we were posed is solitude, alone time with God, a struggle for you? Why or why not? Well, I don't mind being alone. Like, I like going alone for a drive in the car or alone to the grocery store. But I don't know about you. I don't do super well with silence because my head doesn't always go good places when I try to be quiet. Sometimes I get fearful or anxious, or sometimes the regrets of the day or the week or the month before pop in. Sometimes just my to-do list. I don't do well in silence. I listened to a boredom podcast this week, and the guy speaking said, when the mind wanders, it doesn't go to a happy place. So I don't know about you, but when things get quiet, man, it's a struggle in that solitude to be still, to sit purposefully before God, maybe as a spiritual discipline or as a practice in our lives. Here's a great quote from the great Charles Spurgeon from the 1800s. There are times when solitude is better than society, and silence is wiser than speech. We should be better Christians if we were more alone, waiting upon God and gathering through meditation on his word spiritual strength for labor in his service. We ought to muse upon the things of God, because thus we get the real nutriment out of them. From Charles Spurgeon's daily devotional. Solitude. Maybe solitude to us should be times of waiting on the Lord, of meditation on his word, and seeking and longing for and asking for that spiritual strength that comes in that time. So what else is there for me in the wilderness? Well, how about simplicity? I don't know if you've read many articles or done much Googling on shopping trends in 2020, but there were a lot of things that people quit buying. A couple of examples, women quit buying makeup. Because if you're covering half your face in a mask, or if you're not going to work, maybe you just don't need so much makeup. Clothing trends changed. The one that kind of I was a little unsettled with is that the sale of deodorant went down. That's a little hard to take. You know, I'm looking for a simpler life, but when we get back together again, I hope you get back out to Shoppers and buy some deodorant. Well, there was a fad in the last 10 years. It probably started about 2010, and it's the idea of minimalism. Like, would life be better if we eliminated some of the distraction of stuff? And you've probably heard of the lady Marie Kondo, and she's a Japanese woman. I think her book came out about 2011 in Japanese, 2014 in English. And her name has even become a verb because she was asking all of us to, you know, get rid of, purge and clean up our lifestyle, get rid of clutter and only keep the things that bring us joy. Well, for most of us, it's a cool thought and idea and it lives up in our mind, but living a simpler life is pretty challenging. Uncluttering our lives is challenging. And yet, 2020 has been a way where we saw how complex our lives were, how quickly they could become simplified. And we got a peek and maybe some of the beauty of that. Maybe there were some good things, not minimalism and not condoing your bedroom, not eating locusts dipped in honey, but maybe there was a simplicity that God had for us. I was thinking of the wilderness in these terms. One of the things that John said when people came to him, especially when the Pharisees came to him, he was talking about Jesus being one who would gather the wheat and burn off the chaff. You know, the wheat's the good part. And if we just kind of apply that to our life, you know, maybe this is a time where It's time to hold on to the really good things. And the part that's chaff, that's like the outer part of a seed, if it's blown away or if it's figuratively burned from our lives, maybe the goodness of a simple life might be left for us. Here is a great quote, A.W. Tozer. I'm going to say this about three times. This was written in 1960. Modern civilization is so complex as to make the devotional life all but impossible. It wears us out by multiplying distractions and beats us down by destroying our solitude, where otherwise we might drink and renew our strength before going out to face the world again. This is in Tozer's book called Of God and Men. Again, I said published in 1960. The chapter in this book was called Let's Cultivate Simplicity and Solitude. Later on in this chapter, he writes this. But how can it be followed in this day of the newspaper, the telephone, the radio, and the television? These modern playthings like pet tiger cubs have grown so large and dangerous that they threaten to devour us all. They threaten to devour us all. Tozer was talking about the telephone that was attached to a wall in your kitchen. I remember in my life when we went from having one telephone attached to a wall to two telephones attached to a wall. That was a big deal. And now it's with me in my pocket everywhere I go. Is it a pet tiger that's grown into something dangerous? The technology, the world we live in that threatens to devour us today? So what does this simple life, what might this life, we're just tasting, what might it look like? I think God isn't necessarily calling us to get rid of the internet or Netflix or cable TV or Sportsnet, a family favorite at our house. But maybe God and the Bible is calling us to a place of contentment. When the soldiers came to John the Baptist, different groups of people were coming and saying, okay, this repentance and baptism, and different groups were coming and saying, what should we do? And when the soldiers asked him, they said this, the soldiers also asked him, and we, what shall we do? And he said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, which was the way of the day, but be content with your wages. John the Baptist was calling the soldiers to contentment, probably the most famous, I don't know, famous, we'll call it that, scripture in the New Testament on contentment. Paul himself said, not that I speak from need, but I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. And one more that we know, we might know well, you've probably heard before, 1 Timothy chapter 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these things we will be content. So, solitude, times alone, times to be still and meditate and listen. And simplicity, maybe realizing that some of the things that we thought gave so much meaning to our life, we're realizing, there are simple things that give us pleasure and joy and actually make more space for God in our lives. And our last word today is the word preparation, because this is all building. What's in the wilderness for me? Preparation. I believe through this time, solitude, some simplicity, some silence, some waiting on God, some meditating in His Word, I believe God's preparing us for something. I won't begin to say I know exactly what it is, but I have a level of expectation that God is using this wilderness time in our lives. In the book of Luke, talking about the people coming to John the Baptist, here was their heart, or here was their attitude as they came to him. Now, While the people were in a state of expectation and they were all thinking carefully in their hearts about John, whether he himself was perhaps the Christ. Another version says they were waiting expectantly because they were looking for the Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Savior. They came with an attitude of expectation out to the wilderness to find John, to hear his message, to respond to it. They had an expectation that the Savior would come and do something in their lives. Others joined John the Baptist in the wilderness. And we too, you and me, we can join. We're joining that journey of kind of a wilderness life. So choose the way of the wilderness, the word preparation. And I love the word expectation. So here's some things I want to expect as we go through this season. We're still in it. I want to expect that there's going to be times of solitude and silence and simplicity. I'm expecting to be challenged and changed. You know, the people came to John the Baptist and they said, okay, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to live our lives differently? I'm expecting that the wilderness is a place for challenge and for me to respond with change. I'm expecting to be changed. The word of the Lord comes into our lives and something different happens within us. And I'm expecting things to be different. And these sound the same, challenge, change, and different. But my hope and my prayer is as we go through, I don't want to come through this pandemic thing and go, nothing in my life has changed. I'm trusting and believing, even as I wrote in my journal on January 1st, that there is something ahead for those of us who journey through the wilderness, who embrace the times of simplicity and solitude and silence, and to come before God with expectation. Well, here we are. And you say you're almost done here. You must be. And you haven't talked about the thing that John the Baptist was most famous for, not the locusts and the honey and the camel skin. But wasn't he famous for baptizing people? You know, one of the my favorite parts, one of the most fascinating parts to me in the story of John the Baptist's life is I have asked myself, where did he get this idea? Where did he come up with this idea that people should come and they should get dunked in the Jordan River? They should do that as an acknowledgement that they of their lives being changed, of their repentance, of their commitment to live life a different way. Where did he get this idea? Well, maybe it was that solitude of that simple life and that expectation, that preparation that God was doing in his heart in the wilderness, that he was in the place where God could speak to him something that 2,000 years later, any Christian church you go to, the method may look different, but we still baptize as a declaration of our Christian faith and our commitment to him. And so I want to close the message like this, you know, because I think my message just is, well, let's just say the message of the wilderness hasn't changed. Whether it was Jesus at the end of his life, right before he was went back to be in God's presence, he said, you know, go therefore make disciples and baptize them. Or whether it was the who would become the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts, you know, Peter's first sermon ever, it echoes the very call of John the Baptist from the wilderness as people came to meet him in the wilderness and have this experience. Here's what Peter said in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Peter said to them, all the people who were encountering something miraculous of God for the first time after the Spirit of God had fallen on the early church, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. what's God doing in these times? Oh, we don't know for sure what it's going to look like at the end. But we believe as we embrace the solitude, the simplicity of our lives, as we come with expectation, even on the times that are just, we're scratching our head and wondering how much longer this is going to go on. But our response is like that of John the Baptist. We want to be prepared in our heart, and we want to prepare the way for others. Let's pray together. Father, we believe and trust and know that you are with us in these wilderness times. And I pray that we would have the expectation and the confidence that we would come to you in the simplicity and solitude and silence that sometimes this life in these months has given us, that we would come to you and seek you and be still and silent before you and trust that you are doing a new and deep and great work in our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message from Every Nation GTA. Thanks for joining us. For more information, visit our website at everynationgta.org.